Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Jimmy Ray, and this is SenCal Pro Radio. That's right, broadcasting live from the W.L. Fraley Studios in beautiful Pismo Beach, California. Live from the 805, I am Jimmy Ray, and this is SenCal Pro Radio. And fans, I got to just humbly apologize. Looks like we are having some kind of audio difficulties here. You know, and they give you a lot more buttons and gizmos and stuff to play with in a larger studio. Sometimes there is certainly room to screw it up. But, yeah, at least I got some music playing. And, you know, that's the important thing. That is the importance of live radio. But before we go anywhere, I just got to say that we have our inaugural SenCal Pro show number one debuting this weekend, March 22nd, live from the Grad in San Luis Obispo. Tickets are still available, and you've got to get these because they are literally hot right now. We are almost sold out to capacity. That is right. Nah, I'm just kidding. There's still tickets available, but, like, for real, though, anything we sell and get rid of in this pre-sale, like, there, if you've ever been to the Grad lines up people at the door on any given night. So if there are tickets left over from this pre-sale, I assure you they're going to get eaten up by these hungry folks, these you know, faithful patrons of the Grad this coming Sunday. Tickets are still available at the law office of Dennis James Balsamo at 67 South Street, San Luis Obispo, Slow Beverage and More at 158 Higuera Street in Slow, and Traditional Tattoo at 251 Higuera Street, again, in beautiful San Luis Obispo. You can also call our hotline for tickets, 805-996-0192. We can definitely let you know to the minute if there's still tickets available. And, of course, you can buy them right away if you want to just skip past all this and use the glorious technology that the universe has brought you. Head on a browser over to sencalpro.brownpapertickets.com. You can buy your tickets right there. But truth be told, they are much cheaper. Okay, like a dollar cheaper, so whatever. If you buy them direct from us. So if you know anybody direct, you want to go to our locations, or you want to roll the dice and think you're going to get in at the show, you probably will. But if you don't, you can't hold that against me or any of us. I tried to warn you. So that's coming up. Before we go any further, I just want to bring you guys a quick word from our friends at the King of Indie Tournament.
If you're headed to WrestleMania, you don't want to miss King of Indie. It's going down WrestleMania weekend at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds. Information at kingofindies.net and wwnlive.com.
That's right. King of Indies Tournament. It is coming up, and it is going to be one of the craziest two nights of wrestling action. And, you know, WrestleMania, boy, if there's a road to WrestleMania that apparently happens all year, this is definitely, like, you know, the uphill to downhill, the uphill to downhill slope that, like, skiers, like, wish to hit every year, you know, at one of those, you know, fancy resorts. Only it's wrestling and no skiing involved. And it is literally going to be the craziest weekend of wrestling for pro wrestling in California. If you're in California for this, people are going to be coming from all over the world to be at WrestleMania. And it's going to be over in San Francisco, of course, you know, the easiest and most convenient place to drive in and out of, as everybody knows. But just the same, if you are able to make it to one, any, or all of these shows, you will remember this month and weekends of wrestling history. And it all starts with SenCal Pro, and it follows with the King of Indie Tournaments, and it just keeps on going. UEW is wrestling. I mean, everybody is really, I mean, it's going to be nothing but a jam-packed wrestling couple weeks, and you guys are in for a ride. But now the ride must come to a very, very bumpy halt. My guest tonight on SenCal Pro, the recently announced Keepers of the Faith. News broke at the, you know, the SenCal News Studio that there was going to be some giants coming over to SenCal Pro, and, you know, it doesn't get, in my world, any bigger than these two guys, because when I stand next to them, I look like they're, you know, skinny little, you know, female cousin. But, you know, we won't go there. Ladies and gentlemen, bring to you,
find them and tell them not to doubt, even now,
the Keepers of the Faith.
Tell them to keep their faith. They must keep faith.
Thank you. that's right. Dom Vitale, Gabriel Gallo, the keepers of the faith. What's going on, gentlemen?
How you doing,
hey,
Jimmy?
Hey! Welcome to the show, guys. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
thanks
absolutely.
For having us. Pleasure to be here.
Thanks so much. You know, and it just occurred to me, you know, before we went live, you were some of the first guys that I had interviewed years ago before the Cauliflower Alley Club, and I got to meet you guys in subsequent, you know, weeks from that show, and you guys sounded large on the phone, and then I go and meet you guys in real life, and it's like, you know, the phone, if the camera adds 10 pounds, I swear the phone, like, takes away at least 100 pounds of muscle, man, because you guys were much bigger than I thought.
You know, in my defense, it's that, you know, if I get a chance to stand next to Gallo, I'm fine because people automatically think that I'm a giant next to him. You know, me and Gallo, all we do is bench press buses all day, right?
It's kind of like the exact opposite effect of when, like, Rocco Rock used to stand next to Johnny Grunge and everybody thought he was fat, too.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like that, actually. Well, guys,
Dom gains an extra 50 pounds just by being associated with me.
That's actually quite accurate. You know, if I'm by myself, everyone considers me a cruiserweight. But if I'm alongside him, they're like, oh, my God, you guys are enormous. And I'm like, yeah, that's right, man.
Yeah, you know, it's like I think there's certain cars like that, you know. It's like, we're like, hey, my truck is really big, but not until you see it next to the other big trucks, next to the smaller trucks, you go, oh, shit, yeah, that is pretty big, huh?
It's kind of like an uphill battle with me, because no matter how hard I work and try to, you know, put some size on or get bigger, I got this guy over here that's, you know, at least 100 pounds, you know, on me every chance I get. So I'm, like, constantly playing catch-up to the guy, but, you know, it's not a bad thing to have in your corner a 300-pound beast like Gallo, you know, having your back, especially, you know, when you're facing some of the best competition in the country.
Oh, geez, I believe it. That's almost like one of those, you know, like Chuck Norris, you know, style jokes. You know, like if you have 250 pounds of muscle and Gabriel Gallo has 250 pounds of muscle, Gabriel Gallo has more pounds of muscle than you.
Yeah, it's like 10 pounds of
yeah, okay.
10 pounds of rock, so it's heavier.
Yeah, right, there you go.
You guys are so funny.
Yeah, yeah, it's been a while since our car ride.
Well, if you notice here, that's why, like, everybody, once they get to know us, they know that, like, I break things, that makes me break things. You can tell that by just how he's talking right now.
And you'll come to realize, too, and Gallo will be the first to admit that he has zero people skills whatsoever, but that's because he's, you know, he hasn't evolved to that type of behavior. He's still a caveman to a certain degree. And that's kind of what I play the peacemaker a lot of the time. Now, sometimes, you know, my mouth gets not only me in trouble, but him in trouble as well. But again, it's nice to have that muscle behind my back. So when things get a little too out of hand, and maybe I said something I probably shouldn't have to someone I probably should not have said it to, I always have I got 300 pounds of backup right behind me, ready to go.
Oh, wow. Verbal cleanup crew, huh?
Absolutely.
It's simple when you're a caveman. If you don't like it, you just break it. Problem solved.
Primal rage. Oh, that's funny. Well, guys, I hear that you guys are touring through California yet again. Every time that I hear that you guys are in town, I mean, it's like you guys run the loop. You hit every show that you're, like, able to even, like, get to within, like, drivable means. And it sounds like you guys got a packed weekend this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty busy. It's shaping up to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I hear good things. I guess there's happenings going on over at Premier on Friday, UEW possibly on. I mean, I just saw a headline from Sledge, and okay, I'll admit I don't always click on Sledge's stuff. I see it and I just click like, that way, you know, you just put it out there that you saw it. I didn't actually read it, but I did notice somehow Gabriel Gallo was sort of mentioned that. What was up with Sledge's post to you about UEW?
This Saturday, I'm taking Sledge on for his UEW Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. for their Passage to Pain show.
Wow.
So that ought to be. I'm gonna see if I can lawn dart him and see if I can get him either to stick into the ceiling or to the ground with his mohawk.
You know, I've had a chance to see the post you're talking about, Jimmy, and it was a video message that had some pretty harsh words for Gallo, and looking forward to watching this match in person myself, mainly being because there's been, you know, me and Gallo have not always seen eye to eye, and before we were best of friends, we were, you know, even better enemies, so to speak, you know, back in the day, and again, coming back to me running my mouth, that's kind of my thing, that's kind of what I did, and I ran my mouth to him and about him and behind his back quite a bit back in those days, and I paid the price for it, so to speak. So just knowing what I had to go through after I, you know, talked some smack that was pretty harsh against Gallo, and then comparing that to what Sledge had to say in that promo, I think Sledge is a very talented guy. But I honestly and truly feel really, really sorry for that guy come this this Sunday, March 22nd.
Yeah, it sounds like, Sledge wouldn't be the first person to attempt to bite off more than he can chew here. But, you know, I've gone to several eating contests with Sledge, and he usually holds his own really well when it comes to, eating stuff. So I know that when it comes to, beating stuff, I know he can hold his own, but, I mean, he might have asked for a little bit more than he can handle this time. And apparently they like it really, really rough over there at UEW.
Well, that's fine. I can handle a good old-fashioned fist fight. And I got a lot to prove coming back. You know, for the last 6 months I've been on injured list, having my knee reconstructed. So this weekend's the first time I'm going to be back in a pro wrestling ring since the last trip out there, actually, when I wrestled for Premier.
Oh, wow. That's
and,
right.
I'm definitely going to enjoy. I have something to prove this weekend.
I was just going to say, I thought for sure you were on the reserve list for a while on a knee injury with wow. This is it didn't occur to me that this really will be the first official time having you back. I mean, what is your mind thought process going into that? Do you think you're ready?
Oh, I'm more than ready. I spent the last 6 months preparing for this. Like, I left the ring at 280 pounds. I had the knee surgery. I dropped down to 250. I'm walking back into the ring at 295 pounds. So I've been pretty focused for the last 6 months on just nothing but training and rehab and getting stronger and getting bigger and getting faster and getting ready to rip someone's head off their shoulders and use it for a soccer ball. I have an anger issue.
An injury. Yeah.
I have an anger issue, and when you don't get to clothesline people's heads off their shoulders for 6 months, it tends to build up.
Oh, sure.
So it's going to be a volcano this weekend.
Jeez, that injury had to have happened. I mean, because I just recently saw you guys. I rode with you to out to Premier, and and that must have just happened no more than, a month after that, or how long would you say?
Well, the injury was 10 years old. I had blown my ACL I had blown out my ACL before going to Japan for a tour, and after I got back from the tour of Japan, I just never got it fixed because, I wrestled for a living, so I couldn't afford to take the time off to go to get the surgery, and so I just lived with it for 10 years, and it got to the point to where I went to the doctor a couple months before the Premier show, and they told me my knee was wearing out, so I had to get either the ACL surgery or I eventually would have to have a knee replacement, because it would just wear down my knee so bad. So I scheduled the knee surgery, and the Premier show was like my last or second to last show before. I'm pretty sure it was my last show before the surgery.
Dang. So. Yeah, it's crazy putting all that together kind of right here, live on the air, because, that is the last time I recall seeing you guys. And then, when that close, bummed and shocked as everyone else was, to hear that. But, now to know that this was – more or less a lingering injury that finally it was, kind of like a, like an old storage you've been meaning to clean out for years, yet somehow keep paying the bill on. You're like, all right, got to take care of it now. This is it. Girlfriend says I got to sell the toys,
Well, just think of it like this. Look at all I did with a blown ACL in my left leg with nothing holding it together. It's completely repaired now. Imagine what I'm going to do now.
just honestly, like, looking back and thinking about all your matches and then going, oh, wow, and he did that on a, like, on a blown ACL. And, I mean, you had some of the most intense matches. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen any of your matches ever end without someone being badly, badly bruised, usually the person under you.
Yeah. It happens.
That's absolutely crazy, man, that you're making this return, and of all places, you know, you're doing, you know, Premier, then UEW, and then you're making it to our Premier, SenCal Pro, and it's just, it's amazing to hear these stories about you guys being able to go from show to show like that, and truly be able to just do this night in and night out. I mean, there's really, I think, no greater show on the planet than pro wrestling. And if people only knew, if they could only see documentaries of what people go through, you know, in and out, you know, dealing with injury, dealing with all kinds of stuff, you know, just making it to the shows, driving across state even. I mean, you guys come all the way from Arizona, right?
Yeah. And yeah. I think a lot of people, you know, they don't realize the physical wear and tear that it takes on your body. I mean, look at someone like Al. Like you said, he's been wrestling with a, you know, a blown ACL for 10 years. And for people like him who have a very physical style in the ring, and someone for myself, you know, I'm very, I guess you could say, reckless to a point as far as in the ring. And, you know, you kind of just worry about your health afterward, which, you know, in hindsight might not be the smartest thing, and any normal person doesn't think that way. But, you know, guys like myself and Gallo and a host of others out there, we're not wired like regular people. And we do this because we love it, and we do this because we want to be the best, and that's why we do it the way we do, and that's why I feel we're considered some of the best around.
Yeah, I mean, guys wrestling against guys like you, I mean, that old adage, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I mean, I can only imagine that holds true in the world of pro wrestling, that, whatever doesn't kill you in the ring, whatever you can survive through, and if you can live to tell the tale, I guess it truly does give you the means to come back even stronger.
I must be bulletproof then, because I'm pretty sure people have tried to kill me for real. Like, I know Dom has.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. In the ring and outside the ring, absolutely. No, but it's
I still have a sneaking suspicion every time we are on the road and I fall asleep, Dom's secretly planning on, like, killing me in my sleep.
There's nothing so secret about it, you know. There's been a couple times where he's woken up with a pillow over his face and, you know, wanted me, you know, trying to just, you know, get him out of here. But, you know, it's amazing that, you know, I think, to me, just knowing Gallo and being so close to me, it's amazing that he's actually able to come back from something like so devastating, such as the ACL surgery. And not only just to come back from it, but to be bigger, badder, and stronger than he was before, because he was, you know, he was no slouch before this whole thing went down. You know, obviously, you know, he's done quite a bit. But I've been alongside him, you know, here and there training for his comeback. And every time I get together with him, he's bigger. He's more determined, and he's more eager to get back in the ring. And I really feel sorry for anyone standing across the ring from him this weekend.
Yeah. That's for sure.
I'm getting kind of sick and tired of putting Gallo over, so if we can move on to me, that would be great.
I'm not. Keep going.
Yeah. Oh, man, at 7:19 within the show, that, my friends, was the funniest bit of radio right there.
I told you, man, he can't talk, so that's why I'm coming to play.
Dom, you had a great potential just to be a manager, if you haven't noticed. Dom, keep putting me over. It's awesome. I'll be internationally known by the end of this interview.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they'll want you back in Japan like tomorrow. Well, technically it's tomorrow today, but you get what I'm saying.
Either that or they're going to want Dom. They're going to be like, that Gallo kid can wrestle, but that Dom, he knows how to put somebody over. Let's hire him.
He's going to make it.
Just planning for the future, man. Planning for the future, that's all.
Oh, man, that is too funny. Now, I hear they have you guys going up against Urban Discipline at our show. Have you guys heard of these guys?
I watched one of their matches the other night.
Yeah, they're yeah, we both got a chance to see kind of what they have and what they're made of. I understand that they're, you know, some young whippersnappers around the block, so to speak. That's okay. You know, we know we're coming into their territory, but I really and truly hope that they understand what is coming for them. And we're not there, you know, to have a great time and you know, take it easy on anybody. You got to understand, this is our first match tagging together in, you know, more than 6 months. And we, you know, we got a lot to prove. You know, Gallo doesn't only have a lot to prove on his own, but we have a lot to prove as a team still, because, you know, although we do have our singles careers, we do still consider ourselves a tag team. And I really
right.
feel sorry for Urban Discipline, because they will be made an example of. And that's not wrestling promo talk. That's real talk, because people are going to be watching to see if we still have what we had before, still have what it takes to be good these days. And I'm telling you, we're going to bring it, and we're going to bring it hard during that match. And I really hope those guys are ready to go, because if they're not, well, doesn't matter, because we're taking it home and we're going to show them what it's like to be a real team.
Wow. Tough words. I do feel sorry for anybody on the other side of the ring from you two. I really got to say.
Well, and it's just like Don said, it's not like a wrestling talk. It's not a threat. It's just a promise. Like, this is real life, and this is what we do. And day in and day out, this is all we think about, and this is all we do. So it doesn't just go for them. You line up any tag team anywhere, if it's on the West Coast, the Midwest, or the East Coast, you put them in the ring with us, and we're going to show them an old-school tag team ass-whooping. We don't have to do anything flashy. We don't have to do 900 450s off the top rope. But you, when you get us in that ring, you have two of the best tag team wrestlers in the country right now. We think as one. We work as a team. We cut that ring off, and we beat you so you can't walk anymore, and then we go for the pin. Plain and simple. We're going to have to teach people lessons, and it's going to start with Urban Discipline on Sunday at your guys' debut show.
Wow. Let it never be known that discipline is met by swift, swift justice. And it seems like, you know, I just got to wonder, I mean, with Gallo on the shelf, you know, for the last few months, Dom, keeping up the fort, so to speak, for the Keepers of the Faith, what was that like, I guess, being solo for these 6 months?
Let
me put Dom over right now for a second.
Dom,
yeah, right, do it.
I'll do my part as a good tag team partner, because I've been on the shelf and I haven't been able to go with him on the road or watch his back, and I was kind of afraid Dom was going to get himself into a situation where he couldn't handle it, because, you know, his mouth, like he says, tends to write him bigger checks than his asking cash. But
sure.
Dom's been kicking ass and taking names everywhere he's been going, winning championships, slapping even Bully Ray right in his mouth. I'm kind of impressed with how Dom's been going.
Slapping Bully Ray in the mouth. I got to hear this. What can you tell me on that?
yeah, so I've been kind of doing the singles thing in Gallo's absence, and I had a chance to get in the ring with Bully Ray a couple months ago, and I think it was February. And, you know, things got a little physical, and he, you know, he gave me one, so I gave him one back. You know, it's tit for tat. And that's the measuring stick, man. That's how you know if you're good, or as good as you think you are. You get in the ring with guys that are better than you. And you don't get better from being in the ring with guys that are not at your level or above. And who better to kind of gauge myself against than Bully Ray, one of the very best wrestlers in the world today, let alone ever in the history of the wrestling business. So, you know, I was just in the ring with him again last weekend, too, and I had a really good outing, you know, face-to-face, and I have a rematch with him coming up in May out in Albuquerque, New Mexico for Destiny Wrestling Organization. So, again, I'm looking going into that and holding it down and showing that I belong in that same ring with him.
Oh, absolutely.
He's still not putting
totally
For some reason, Dom isn't putting himself over as well as he put me over. He's neglecting to say how, as a team, we won that company's first ever tag team invitational award, and I went down for surgery. He went on as a singles and won their heavyweight championship in a brutal ladder match against one of their top guys. And now the fight with Bully Ray is for the title again, which I'm going to call his title because he's going to get it back in May.
Yeah, and I probably should add,
Dom, that was quite the footnote to forget. What's up with that,
yeah,
man? That's important.
I have no problem putting anyone else over, but I got a real hard time putting myself over sometimes. But, yeah, actually, I don't want to get too off topic, but I do have the rematch for the heavyweight title on May 9th in Albuquerque against Bully Ray, and that match is actually going to be a ladder match as well. So,
wow.
One of his specialties, he's made a career off of matches like that. I hope to not have to make my name off of matches like that for the long haul. I'm not doing those type of matches every weekend, that's for sure. But in this case, it's warranted, and it's the only way to kind of settle the score between him and I. We have a little bit of a history going on now, and that's the only way to kind of get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, well, it's kind of crazy to get to the bottom of a match like that. You have to get to the top of a ladder, but ladders are somewhat in the past of one Bully Ray. I think he knows his way around ladders, tables, and chairs, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's for sure. I felt the wrath of the steel chair from him, that's for sure. I caught one in the head back in February, and it wasn't polite, and it wasn't nice, and it didn't feel great. So obviously I want to avoid that at all costs, and I know it's coming with the ladders. If anyone knows his way around a ladder, it's going to be him. But, I know my way around him, too. And I'm not going to take anything away from him, just like I'm not going to take anything away from myself. If I didn't think I could, stand toe-to-toe with him in that ring, I wouldn't have accepted the match. I would have just stuck my tail between my legs and walked the other way. But that's not how that's not how Gallo does business. We feel that we're the best, and we know that we're the best. And the only way to tell that is just get in the ring with the best and, show your chops, show what you can do.
And at the top of the ladder for the title, no less.
That's right. But going back to what you were saying before, Gallo goes down, kind of like, how does it go from there? Holding it up from a single standpoint. And
sure.
I'll be honest with you, man, like when he went down and I knew that it was coming, he was going out, and I was a bit nervous. It was very disheartening. Not only because we don't team all the time, we do our single stuff, but
right.
He's always on the road with me, and like we always joke around that he's like my heterosexual wife mate. He's my road wife. We're together all the time, whenever we're we're out and about. So it's weird, man. It's weird not having him around. Even though all he does is bitch and complain a lot when he's on the road.
I only bitch and complain in the car.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true. So that part wasn't missed by myself or others. But you can't discount his experience and his knowledge of the wrestling business. And it's always a privilege to be in the car because you always learn something. Even if you're not in the ring at the time, if you're sitting in the same car as him, you're going to learn something. You're gonna learn something that he's experienced that you can definitely use to make yourself better. So that's kind of what I tried to do is just kind of fill in that role as he was gone. I did my single stuff and just kind of set the groundwork for when he was ready to come back and, set the table up for us to knock him dead. And he's coming back this weekend, and that's what we have planned.
Oh, wow. That is insane. Yeah. I remember, did you catch the Royal Rumble this year?
Yeah, I did.
I think it was pretty awesome to see Bubba Ray Dudley, reprise and come back to the WWE, even just for, quick little stint in the Rumble. And I was bummed that D-Von didn't show up, I got to admit. But, suppose the WWE gets whoever they can afford these days, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was actually like a week before I actually wrestled him for the first time. So going into the show, I didn't know what I was going to get. Was I going to get Bubba Ray Dudley? Was I going to get Bully Ray? And as far from a soreness standpoint, the next day, I know for sure that I got Bully Ray that night, for sure.
Yeah, the bruises tell you everything, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that is so cool to hear. The guys that I know and I've seen in the ring go on and wrestle guys that I used to watch wrestle in high school, guys that I chose while playing, the No Mercy game on the Nintendo 64. You know what I mean? Like, these were, punk players, for lack of a more, technical you know, term to describe it. And all things considered, you know, real life people that I know are wrestling some of these real life comic characters. And it's really impressive to hear of the generation I watched wrestle the generation that's going on right now.
Yeah, you know, it's cool because obviously, you know, we're all wrestling fans when we're growing up. I was, you know, one of the biggest ones ever. I still am a wrestling fan. So on the surface, it's like, okay, yeah, it's cool. I'm in the ring. I'm in the same ring, and I'm wrestling against guys like Bully Ray. I made this vow to myself the first day I walked into wrestling school, and it was actually hammered home by some of the guys that actually helped train me. At that point, when I decided to train to become a professional wrestler, I was going to consider myself on the same playing field as everyone else I've watched. So I'm not. And everyone else's deal is their own deal, but this is my deal. I don't pay for tickets to watch guys that I see on TV because that's not me. Those are my peers now. I consider them my peers. So I'm not paying for a ticket to watch them in person. I want to work to get to the point where I can be on the same card as them, if that makes any sense.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. You know, it's different once you've been, I've only been inside the ring holding a microphone and quickly jumped out whenever things got hot. But having that little taste of what it's like to be in the ring, I can only imagine what it's got to be to actually perform and compete in the ring. And after having done so, it's got to change you somewhere, even on the fan level perspective. I mean, of course, like you said, you'll always be a fan. You always have been. You always will be. But at the same time, becoming part of the show yourself sort of, I don't know, like, you know, gives you kind of a little bit of, you know, I don't know, some of the sparkle that made the show anything it was to you growing up. You know, and now that you're kind of a part of it, I can absolutely see paying some of these ridiculous scalper prices or something to get to WrestleMania. I mean, I heard that some people were even spending almost $1,000 for a ticket to a show.
Well, I can't do it just because I'll be in the crowd bitching about what they messed up on or something. But that guy throws a clothesline. I'll be like, that guy throws a clothesline like a little girl. He should be in the Divas match. And I'll get my clothes kicked out.
I have a Divas Junior division.
I can't keep my mouth shut. And it pisses me off because I see, not gonna say where or whatever, but like every time I try to watch wrestling matches, I see when I'm in the crowd, which has been very few times, but when I have done it, I see guys that I'm either better than or I know that I could wrestle against. And it's like Dom says, it drives me crazy because it makes me want to be in that spot. Or it just pisses me off because I'm sitting in the crowd and I just can't do it. Like, I haven't been to, I think I've only been to a handful of shows in the crowd. I've been to more since I hurt my knee, since I had the knee surgery, just because I was out of the ring and I was going crazy sitting at home. Like, so I had to go to the shows to at least be around it, and I was going
sure.
nuts watching it. I was going nuts watching it.
Wow.
Going nuts.
And it was a thing you were saying, Jimmy, about, you know, these prices for tickets and stuff. Like, my viewpoint about that is, why? I would rather spend $500 on a personal trainer or better gear or new boots or something like that to make me a better, you know, make me a better wrestler to get booked on the shows. Why the
sure.
I don't know if I can swear on here. But why am I going to pay that much money or any money to go sit in the crowd and act like those guys are above me when I'm trying to get to that level? Now, you know, all due respect, I mean, I respect everyone that's at that level. Absolutely, they're there for a reason. But
that's
the goal, you know. My goal is not to buy a goddamn ticket and sit in the crowd and use this piss poor excuse that I always hear: "Oh, I'm scalping my competition." You're not. That's not your goddamn competition. You're not even there yet.
If for shopping your competition, you sure aren't getting any better in training. That's what I always say.
Exactly. I'll make a great point. And it wasn't supposed to be like this big, you know, this big like aha moment for anybody. But it was probably like a couple of years ago or something. And Gallo and I were at the gym. And oh, it was that's right. It was the Royal Rumble was out here in Phoenix a couple of years ago. And honestly, probably about 95% of the guys that are indie guys out here went to the show. Whatever, okay, that's your thing. So just, you know, and just being the way we are, you know, Cal and I sent out a tweet or a Facebook post or something to the effect of, hey, everyone have fun at the Royal Rumble. Well, while you guys are marching out, I mean, we're training in the ring, you know, or we're training at the gym trying to get better. And it's a joke, you know what I mean? Whatever, you know, just trying to fucking stir the pot. That's what we do. And I can't tell you, I can tell you, actually, I've had at least five people individually come up to me and reference that, what was said, and say, wow, you know what? Like, I saw what you guys said that night, and it really, like, opened my eyes. And I realized that, you know, I really wasn't taking things as serious as I should to get better. And I was looking at it from a different perspective. And now I look at it from a different point of view where, hey, I can respect those guys. I can appreciate what they do. But if I want to be at that level, I really got to work harder. And to me, I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what you want to do. I mean, that's the end goal. You know, it might not be, you know, WWE for everybody, but to be the best, that's the end goal. And you don't become the best by settling and calling yourself
by sitting front row.
I mean, we're all fans.
I got you.
You can call yourself a fan. It's okay to call yourself a fan. But there's a fine line, I feel, that's drawn. And you got to know when you're getting close to that line or you're crossing it. Because that line, that's where it's decided whether or not you belong in the locker room or you belong over down the other side of the gate buying tickets.
That's a very, very good point. I mean, it's, I don't even say almost an illustration of what it's really got to be like. I mean, you know, you got to at some point separate yourself really from the fan and from the performer, you know, and it's almost two categories you almost have to permanently live in. I mean, sure, you can always be a fan, but I mean, if you don't break that, and, you know, it's like being around celebrities even, you know, if you're too much of a fan around the celebrities and you can't just, you know, act amongst them as, you know, the rest of the crew and people do on the movie set, you're kind of going to put yourself at a level amongst your peers as well. They're going to kind of see, well, you know, you're not really working for it as hard. And then maybe there will be five or six that go, oh, crap, you know, a slap in the face sometimes can be like a good drink of water. You can go, ooh, I needed that, you know, and really, like, take a perspective and go, ooh, shit, these guys are right. You know, surely we're joking. But, you know, with every good joke, there's usually a really solemn line of truth in there, you know. I hate to admit it, but that is and that's what it just kind of goes back to. It's like, you know, are you there? I remember, like, when I first got, you know, to the wrestling gig, and I was, you know, I was playing a wrestling game, and, you know, my girlfriend at the time was, she goes, you're going to be late. I go, I know, but I'm finishing my match. And she goes, are you fucking serious? She goes, you know, do you want to sit and play wrestling, or do you want to go and work at wrestling? And I was like, oh, wow, that's, holy crap, that's a really good point. Okay. It shut my game off, and I went, and I was, you know, 30 minutes early. And that's, lots of guys will tell you, I rarely show up early.
That's a great point, and that's—I mean—that even makes for a good analogy because I mean, like I said, Gallo's 300 pounds of beefcake over there, or if you want to call him, and you know, I'm 210 pounds of skinny fat. You know what I mean? So I'm not in the best of shape, you know, that I could be. But man, there's guys out there that call themselves professional wrestlers that spend more time playing video games than they do either in the ring training or at the gym or learning their craft, and that's part of the problem, man. You can't have people like that in wrestling. Those are the type of people that need to be sitting in the crowd and buying the tickets and watching the guys that actually give a shit and take care of themselves and act like this as this is their profession, because it is.
Yeah, it's a different thing nowadays. There's so many. That's why I really don't wrestle. Like I choose where. Luckily, I'm at the point now where I can kind of pick and choose where I want to go, and. Mm-hmm. Some of the places, like, I don't even look at twice because the way, like, the I'm sorry, the guys look and perception is. I was taught something a while ago. I used to kind of make fun of it, but now that, like, I'm older, I think about it as true. Perception is reality. When you see a bunch of guys wearing a bunch of welfare Hot Topic gear, I've said this a million times, and they look like they've been out mowing your lawn, they don't look like superstars. They're not wrestlers. In wrestling, you're a superstar. You're supposed to be a superstar, or you're supposed to just be a larger-than-life comic book hero, like you were saying, or a comic book villain. And if the guy in the ring that I'm watching, or the guy that I have to wrestle, looks like 5-10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag, there's no way that I'm going to, like, I can do that. Like, if I do have to wind up wrestling a guy like that, I'm going to beat the hell out of them for embarrassing me by walking into the ring in worse shape. And I'm not talking about just being small. I'm just being like, if you don't take yourself seriously, I could tell by looking at you, you might be the greatest wrestler in the world, but if you look like crap, you're going to be treated like crap because you're embarrassing me. You know, you're embarrassing our sport and our business. And I don't know, I'm kind of like the last of an old line, you know, like when I got brought in and I was trained out here in Arizona, and I got brought in, and within a year I was at UPW, which at the time was like the big premier thing in the West Coast. You know, we had our backstage was Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, Samoa Joe, you know, John Cena, all these guys.
Yeah.
You could
just
not.
Some guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, like you, and these guys are all now like the forerunners of the current stars of our business. You know, and it's like you couldn't walk into that locker room looking like crap or acting the fool or not wanting to take it seriously, because they'd let you know one way or another that if you weren't taking it seriously or you weren't looking like you were taking it seriously, you had to be on your way. You know, and that's just the way I still look at it.
Well, you touched on something very, very interesting, very poignant there, if you will. Being, you know, of more or less of the last of kind of the formerly trained breed, do you think, this is something I've kind of come to see in the last few years, you know, it's my very short road with pro wrestling. I myself am not a wrestler, but I talk to so many on this, you know, fun road, and I emphasize very fun. One thing that kind of occurred to me is that, you know, for a lot of the guys that were formerly, you know, trained formerly back in the day, pre-internet, and I kind of want to, you know, use the example pre-internet, back when, you know, you really had to print flyers and you really had to post stuff everywhere and you really had to get radio and television time, because other than that, there really wasn't any way to reach the general public. It was harder to perform. It was harder to actually get the venues to really, you know, give you the fair price to run the show. There was a lot of, you know, logistics, if you will, that went into it that people had to work a lot harder for back then. With the now fast forward with the advent of the internet, these, you know, internet celebrities and even internet wrestlers that are now starting to appear, it almost appears as though they appear more on the internet than they even do in the ring. And kind of like you were saying, you know, when they get a little bit of training, they watch a few YouTube videos, they think they can talk the talk and step in the ring, and sure, they might be, you know, some might even be physical specimens of life. You know, let's, you know, give them some credit here. But at the same time, they didn't go through the rigors of training. They don't know what it's like to really be on the road, you know, to get a marginal payout, because you went to a smaller show that didn't really have a lot of money, but you were making your name, you're getting it out there. You didn't turn down a single match. You didn't turn down a single show within reason. And it's like, for some of these guys, it doesn't seem like they ran that road. And it seems like they kind of want the same respect that guys like you and other guys who did run that road currently have. And it kind of seems like, you know, that, you know, back to sort of what you said, you know, is, you know, they act like shit or they perform like shit in the ring. They're going to make you look like shit in the ring. And you're going to make them feel like shit for doing that, especially if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, but nowadays, just on that same note, with the internet, they go and they cry about it on the internet to all their little internet friends, and it becomes this huge deal. And all of a sudden, the guy that's just defending the business or protecting himself because they're dangerous is suddenly this huge piece of shit because he, you know, called the guy out of the locker room. You know, how dare he call me out of the locker room and not, like, treat me with the same level of respect he treated the other guys with. You don't deserve
right.
it. You're not going to get it, you know. And, but like you said, with the internet, they go and cry on it. And people that aren't even involved see that and instantly take that one side. You know what I mean? Like, the internet's the death of the business. And the internet is two things. Besides being the greatest thing in the world, I mean, like, if it's used properly, it's great. You know, because, I remember when I came in, the internet was new. It wasn't a very big thing. So, like, I was able to actually look out and look for schools on there. You know, I didn't really see too many matches. It wasn't like it is today. It wasn't prevalent, you know. It was still America Online was the best web browser, I think, out there, you know. And it did help. Yeah, and it did help me try to find a school, you know, because it helped me find a training place. But nowadays, I think it's the death of the business as much as it helped it, because you can't keep, you know, nobody can keep their mouth shut. Nobody, you know, everybody's an internet warrior talking smack to this person or that person. Yeah, but besides being like as good of a tool as it could be anymore, to me, it's just a online takeout menu for pedophiles and a way for marks to kill the business. I mean, that's all I really.
Wow, that is an unrefutable fact there about the internet. I can't help but agree.
I gotta have it because of my, you know, it's my business, my job. You know, I gotta promote myself. But the day that I quit, I can't wait to delete everything I have on the internet.
I'm taking it all back. Fuck you guys.
You'll know the day I quit because you're going to go to, like, my Facebook page or something. It's all going to be gone. There won't even – it's not going to be converted to a personal page. It's not going to be anything. It's gone. It's gone.
That's the
like
thing.
That,
I mean,
any
asshole can buy a wrestling ring these days and call themselves a wrestler or a promoter or a trainer or whatever. I mean – back before the internet, which was right like that, I think I got in a little bit after Gallo did, but I was kind of on the cusp of like when the internet was first coming out. That's when I first discovered all the secrets to pro wrestling, and the first thing I looked up was where to buy a wrestling ring, and that's what these idiots are doing now, and they're calling themselves you know promoters and stuff. And you got to be really picky and really careful about who you work for. I mean, someone can offer me you know a really good sum of money, but if I'm going to do my research. You know, I'm going to do my back work, and I'm going to look and see, you know, if there's any credibility to this, because it not only from a money standpoint, but it's either giving me or taking credibility from me. And I'm not going to put my reputation and my name on the line for some shit show that has no business running in the first place. And kind of piggybacking off what Gallo said about, you know, you let these guys that aren't even trained, they're not real wrestlers, but think they are, if you give them this criticism or this feedback or this dose of reality that they don't want to hear, and they're the only ones that are going, like, on the internet and, like, talking shit to you and stuff like that, whereas anyone that's worth their while, I mean, you can be, you know, you can be in a locker room with a bona fide superstar that's done things in this business, that's been placed, that's been to the top. And if they give you that same criticism, you know, if you're a professional, you're not going on the internet and talking shit about him saying, oh, fuck that guy. He told me I suck and I need to do this and that. No, you're listening to the guy because you're a professional and he's a professional. If you're going on the internet talking shit because someone that's done more than you is telling you what you need to do better or why you suck or why you should quit, in some cases, like in Dallas' case, you know, he told quite a few people that. But that's the truth, and the truth hurts these people that want to take shortcuts, that aren't real wrestlers, that don't want to pay the dues, and they don't get the privilege of kid gloves, so to speak. No, you tell them, get the fuck out, you don't belong here. That's how it was, and that's how it still needs to be. Unfortunately, that's not how it is anymore. Everyone's too worried about hurting other people's feelings to be the bad guy. But believe me, fucking Gallo has no problem being the bad guy. And that's why I respect him, actually.
Yeah, well, it's going to do one of two things with me doing that. And that's what I want to see. I'm testing everybody all the time. And if I test somebody like that and I tell them they're the shits and they need to quit, unless they really need to quit, if they're super dangerous or something like that, I'll let it be known that there's no help for you. You're going to hurt somebody or yourself. You need to get out of this, or someone's going to take you out because you're almost breaking somebody's neck or something. But how I got brought in, everybody talks shit to everybody. Like you took it and you either like sat on it and whined, or you did something about it and made yourself better. You know, and I had it done to me. I was in the stupid files of PWI, that giant markout magazine, because I had to wrestle on the worst pay-per-view in the history of pay-per-views, and not pay-per-views, I mean a real pay-per-view, but it was the worst in wrestling history, and
wow.
I had to do it in some lame gimmick, and it was called the worst match on the worst pay-per-view in history, and I had, like, dude, I had so, like, there was a picture where I was chopping Brian Clark, because it was me and my old tag partner, Nav, the guy that trained me, and we had to wrestle Chronic, and it was 7 minutes of shit. And at one point, my balls fell out of the side of my shorts, and whoever was taking the picture took a picture of my balls hanging out, and it made it into the PWI stupid file. And so besides everybody making fun of the match and Barry, I had to go to, like, UPW and stuff, and everywhere I went, that stupid picture was pinned to my bag, pinned to walls. I'd come back from wrestling matches, and it'd be, like, taped on the entryway on the curtain coming back. Like, and nowadays, that kind of stuff, oh, he's hurt, oh, these jerks, and blah, whine on the internet to all my Mark friends, blah, blah, blah. No, then I was like, you guys are dicks. And you laugh it off, and you work harder. And you work harder to make it better, you know, to get better. That's what you do, you know. Now, granted, that was kind of a situation and there was nothing I could do to get better about that. That was just that situation was just what it was. But the situation spawned other stuff. You know what I mean? And I could have whined about the other stuff, or I just made myself get better at it, you know? And if part of the getting better at that point wasn't even in the ring, it was how do I rip these guys back better? That's what you do, you know? It's not – this PC is killing us. This PC and the internet is killing wrestling. And I'm definitely not PC, if you haven't noticed.
I can vouch, too, man. I've seen Gallo, like, tell people, like, oh, man, you're the shit. You need to fucking stop. And I've seen a few guys take it to heart and try to use that to get better. And actually, they're pulling aside, say, what can I do, or pull me aside, or whoever, and actually work to make them better. And some of those kids did that and are still around and are doing really well for themselves right now. But it's those few that are willing to take the criticism and are willing to, you know, have thick skin and attempt to get better. Too many people just want you to give them a pat on the ass and be like, oh, you're the greatest thing ever, when they have no business being in the ring in the first place. And that's where there's this fine, you know, there's this gray area there where they get intertwined, and you got to kind of get rid of one part and push the other kids to know that they can be better than what they are.
Well, it sounds like then kind of right. So with your training, it almost sounds like you guys would rather basically tell somebody, hey, we don't even want to take your money anymore. You really shouldn't be doing this. You don't have a future in wrestling, and you're probably just going to hurt yourself or someone else.
I've done
that. And it sounds like have a much. Oh, go ahead.
I've done that before.
Yeah,
I've kicked people out of my training school
before
because they're not going to make it.
Well, and rather than have them. Yeah, because, I mean, anybody can sit there and pay whatever gym dues are, you know, every single month for some wrestling dream. But, I mean, there's some people, it's kind of like the American Idols. You see them go on there and it's like, wow, did your coworkers, like, prod you to do this? Like, you should never, ever sing again. Like, you're terrible. You know, what were you thinking? And, I mean, it almost seems like, you know, I can imagine that if some gyms out there would continue to keep people aboard, even though they know they have no future, just to continue to incur, you know, gym dues or whatever it is, if they're supporting in some way, free labor, whatever you want to call it. Some of these people really don't have a chance. It sounds like you guys wouldn't dare take advantage of that.
No. And that's the thing, is like everybody, I think the big problem too is everybody always wants to be a wrestler. They don't realize, okay, you're not, and I've done this before too, you can ask Tom, you're not cut out to be a wrestler. But that doesn't mean you can't do anything else in this sport. You could be a referee. If you're not good at that, you could help run sound. You could do this. You could have, there's other spots that are equally as important, if not more important than the actual show, because it contributes to the show. Just most people don't like hearing that. And I'm not like, everybody thinks I'm like this giant asshole, which I mean, I am. But on the same note, I want a sport that's like it was when I came up. And I mean, you always have your shitbags. And you always have your really nice guys that might not be the best, but they're really nice guys. But for the most, it was a safe environment to work in. Everybody was fully trained. You knew when you met someone and you asked who trained them, if their trainer was legitimately, you knew this guy was going to be okay to work with. And you knew no matter how bad you beat each other up, it was going to be safe. He wasn't going to try to kill you. You weren't going to try to kill him. Because you got to work the next night, too, and the next night after that, you know. And that's something a lot of these people don't get. Like, they haven't done the 30 days, work two times a day shows, you know? And I want a place, like I said, we could go and wrestle, and everybody's good. You know, if you're not good yet, I want to help you get better so that we can work you and we can have a great match. You know, I don't want to just tell you you suck and kick you out. If there's hope for you, I want to tell you you suck and see if you fire up so that you can get better. So that the more people that are better, the more people we have to work. But if you're not going to get better, you're just going to whine and cry and possibly endanger someone, you need to get out. You know, and that's something that's not happening anymore. Wrestling is not for sissies. It's not ballet. And it takes someone that has, like, guts and toughness to do it. But if you can't do that in the ring, doesn't mean you can't be somebody in the back. You know what I mean? Some of the best minds in wrestling weren't never in the ring. They were managers, or you know what I mean? And besides knowing what goes on in the ring, they never actually did more than take a bump. So I just want everybody to get better. I want more people to work. And to me, I know my time's drawing to an end eventually sometimes. You know, I don't want to be like Ric Flair, 65 years old, still wrestling. But I want what I know to be passed on so that those guys can take it and get even better from what I teach them.
it's keeping that fire burning of the indie pro spirit. And, you know, I talk about the indie pro spirit being alive in California all the time. Well, damn it, you know, it shares some borders here because it really sounds like it's alive and well in Arizona, too.
It's alive, and there's small matches of it everywhere, small little flames burning in every state, I think. It's only tendered by a few of us. That's why, again, why me and Dom even became the Keepers of the Faith, because to us, the name symbolizes everything that we do in the ring. We keep the faith of pro wrestling. To us, wrestling is life. It's what we've always wanted to do and what we still always want to do, and we need to protect that, why we are the Keepers of the Faith.
It's like you can watch whatever you want to watch. You can watch a show that we're on, and yes, there's going to be great matches, and there's probably going to be some not-so-great matches, but again, with the name, the Keepers of the Faith, you know when you see us, you will see professional wrestling as it is meant to be, and we've taken it upon ourselves to make it our job to preserve the sport of professional wrestling and not embarrass it and hold it close to our hearts. And that's not just like a gimmick per se, you know, quote unquote, that's life with me and Gallo. I mean, we live it, we breathe it, we eat it, we sleep it. Like, I can't remember the last, like, quote unquote, real life conversation him and I have, you know, it's 99.9% of the time, it's all wrestling, all this, but that's what makes us as successful as we have been. I feel like, you know, we have some degree of success, you know, as a team and individually, and you have to really, you know, live it in order to, you know, to achieve it.
That's great to
that's
hear.
Why we like
that's still alive and well.
Well, that's why we like coming to NorCal so much, because Northern California seems to have a lot of guys that like to keep the faith. NorCal has a ton of well-trained, hungry wrestlers that are all amazing. You know, that's why we enjoy going to Northern California so much.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's gotta be a hell of a drive for you guys. I mean, how many hours is that coming out from Arizona?
Let's see, the one to San Jose for premiere on Friday, that is about a 12 and a half hour drive.
And then you guys will be bombing it all the way to Los Angeles, going past San Luis, only to drive back up California to come here to San Luis Obispo.
Towns ain't going to mix themselves.
Yeah, brother. Got to mix towns. Got to do the loop. We're taking up and down the coast, brother.
It's wild right now.
That's part of the deal, man. You know, it's not always easy, and it's not always, you know, what you want to do when you wake up in the morning. You know, the last thing you want to do is get in the car, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, knowing you're going to be in there for, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours. But at the end of the day, man, it's pro wrestling, dude. It's what we love. It's why, you know, why we, you know, stepped foot in the ring in the first place, you know, over 10 years ago and got the shit kicked out of us on a regular basis so we could earn the right and the privilege to do this type of thing.
I mean, we are doing it easier this trip. We are going up the day before and getting in probably early in the morning and then sleeping for a few hours and then driving the other 2.5 hours to San Jose. But it's not like if we couldn't do that, if we haven't done it before, it's not like we haven't driven 14.5 hours, no sleep, show up, wrestle, drive back to where we need to go, wrestle again, and then finally go to sleep after like 48 hours of no sleep and 2 matches and eating Love's hot dogs on the road. We've done it. So, you know, that's when you're really, that's when you know, when you've done that for like 3 or 4 days or a week or two that this business is for you, when you've done that and you're like, you can't even remember the last time you slept in a bed, let alone, you know, for a couple hours. And you just wonder why you're not driving in your wrestling gear because you're just going straight to another show.
True. And you can't complain about it. You really can't complain. That would kill to do what you're doing. And there's adults that are out there that would kill to be able to be in our shoes. Not even necessarily in front of the crowd, but just being able to travel from show to show, even though, you know, you're in the car for that long. And it's a privilege. It really is an earned privilege. And I don't take it for granted anymore, man. There was times in my past when I did, but not anymore, man. Like, I enjoy my time, you know, with the other guys and on the road and the locker room and in the ring especially, man. It's all about having fun, and I've told Gallo this a million times. Like, when I'm done having fun, man, I'm out of here. I don't need to be doing this anymore. But it's still fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
you know, I haven't been on the road with both you guys. I can certainly attest that, you know, my only one car ride, but it only takes one car ride for a fateful memory to be remembered. And, you know, that was just probably I don't think I've laughed more consistently for like 3 hours straight all the way from, you know, where were we, Gilroy, all the way to San Luis Obispo. I mean, just cracking up over anything and everything. And then you guys hightailed it all the way back to Arizona that night, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Yeah, that was it.
Yep, we drove back and we left. We left straight for Arizona for the show. Yeah, it was a That was a long one.
Keepers of the faith, more like keepers of the real, man. That is like truly living the life.
It's the wanderlust, man. Every true wrestler has it. You get that itchy feet. You got it. You miss. When you're on the road, you miss being home really bad. But once you're home for more than a day or two, you're like, man, I got to get back on the road. You know, you miss seeing the trees drive by. You miss seeing, you know, traveling in that car and hitting the gas stations for coffee. You just miss it. I mean, all except for driving through Texas. That really sucks. But but drive like I've been going crazy like the last 6 months. Like I said, this weekend is I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm really glad that my first trip back gets to be to you know to places like Premier and you know, then back like travel the road back down to LA for UEW and then back up to for SenCal's debut. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Having you guys around, man, it's like you said, you know when the professional is around when you know, keepers of the faith are in town. And it's like to be able to have you guys at our show, to be able to, you know, to solidify our mark here on the Central Coast, and then to have guys like you debut for us, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, you guys have had probably more debuts than, you know, I'm sure several, you know, musicians out there, but to have you guys debut yet again and have it be at our shows is nothing shy of an honor, fellas. I mean, on behalf of SenCal Pro, I definitely want to thank you guys for, you know, letting our audience experience you guys this Sunday.
No, man, pleasure is all ours.
Thank you for having us.
No, already proud of you guys. Yeah, no problem. Well, as we wind the show down, where can our fans of the show, where can they find you guys online? I want them to be able to follow up, you know, with the Keepers of the Faith. If you guys are out in the Arizona area and you're listening to the show, fuck yeah, we got Arizona listeners, hell yeah. But anyone else, if you want to follow these guys, Dom and Gallo, guys, where can they keep up with you guys at?
Well, you got our Facebooks. Like, I'm on Facebook, Gabriel Gallo. I also got a fan page, it's the KNO Rules. And we got a tag team fan page under the Keepers of the Faith. And then Dom has his own personal Facebook. But you'll probably find him more on his Twitter account.
Yeah, I got a Facebook. It's just Dom Vitale. It's the regular page. I don't really interact too much on there. I usually just kind of post where I'm going to be and stuff like that. And then you can catch me on Twitter mostly and Instagram. Try to, you know, keep myself out there at those. That is Dom El Bomb. That's Spanish for Dom the Bomb. I don't know if you know that or not, but yeah, I'm bilingual. So yeah, I guess that's where you can catch me.
Yeah, and I'm on Twitter too at GQ Gallo, and my Instagram is King of No Rules.
Yep. So we'll
that's
be
awesome.
You
hear that, fans?
We'll
find them.
Yeah, we'll be in California this weekend, like we said. That's on Friday for Premier in San Jose, and then the 21st, UEW in East LA, and then the 22nd and Slow for SenCal Pro. And then if you're not in the California area, if you're one of the locals here down in Arizona, we'll be here on the 28th for Arizona Wrestling Federation in Glendale.
It's awesome. That's where it's at. It is going to be hot with the Keepers of the Faith. Whether you are in California or Arizona, bring some sunscreen. Hotness is on the way.
And I suggest following our Twitter account before the road trip, because that the Twitter and the Instagram when we're on the road is quite funny to follow usually. And it's been a while. So
That's right, fans. If you want to be able to experience what it's like to be on the road with you know, Gabriel Gallo and Don Vitale, the Twitter feed is going to be where it's at. If half the stuff that gets said in the car makes it to the Twitter feed, I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of late night Twitterers. It's gotten us in trouble before, but why stop? What was that, Don?
So it's gotten us in trouble before, so why stop now?
Yeah, right?
Yes, it has.
Oh, shoot. Well, guys, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this show up here. Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate you guys being on the show. I can't wait to see you guys this weekend.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
Awesomeness. Pure awesomeness. True athletes of our time, of their time, and of the time ahead. The keepers of the faith. Gabriel Gallo, Don Vitale. You guys got to check them out this weekend. Coming up Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If you get all 3 days, come find me and I'll put a little star on your card for making all of them, because you're going to get the shows of the month until the next shows of the month come, and then it's just nothing but pure wrestling, guys. Pure wrestling. Awesome. Well, we're going to end the show here with another word from our friends of the King of Indies Tournament. For Gabriel Gallo, for Don Vitale, for the Keepers of the Faith, for SenCal Pro Radio, I am Jimmy Ray. Thank you, fans, so much for tuning in yet again. Can't wait to see each and every one of you this weekend at the Grad.
Before you can get to WrestleMania, you gotta go to King of Indies. March 27th and 28th in San Jose, a 16-man tournament to determine the best. Featuring Timothy Thatcher, B-Boy, Brian Cage, Adam Thornstow, Willie Mack, Jody Christopherson, and many more. Plus, Ultimo Dragon vs. Juventud Guerrera. Exclusive signings and photo ops. It's going down at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds. KingofIndies.net and WWNLive.com.